But my brothers, sometimes when we're brought to that resting place, I remember though that was many, many years ago now, he talked about getting the feelings. I've been on the water a little bit, not much, but I do know that when you're on the water and you're up and down, you're swaying to and fro, when you get on the water, it seems the earth is still moving, doesn't it? My brother, when we're brought into a safe haven, into the dry land again, there is a weaving a little bit here and there, but soon, my brethren, we're brought to the place where there is stability, where the land is not moving anymore, but the seas are calm into our souls. It says, when they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, I return with them. Then, not before then, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the calm of the stormy calm, and so the waves are ever still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and he bringeth them into their desired haven. Time after time, brethren, in your experience, not just one time in life, but oft times in life we're brought through the storms. Not that our hope is no good anymore, not that. But that the Lord deals with us because we're so prone to become exhausted. We're so prone to forget the source of all of our grace and mercy. The source of all things that we have, we're so forgetful of these things. But the Lord knows what we need. You know, Paul needed, because it was necessary in the purpose of God in leading the apostle, he needed a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Don't think that you don't. I need not think that I don't, because I do. So does every child of God. May not be just the same thing that the apostle had, but we need something, brethren, to keep us from becoming exalted. And the Lord knows how to keep us. And if we do become exalted, then he brings us down. And that's what we need. Oh, what a terrible thing it is, and sometimes I've seen it. One of the Lord's little ones who came to the church meekly and humbly and fearfully and trembling, and then after a while they become exalted. After a while they seem to think that, I don't know how the church can get along without me. May God give us grace, brother, we never feel that way, but sometimes it's that way. But the Lord knows how to bring us down, and not only knows how, but he will bring us down. That we might come once more humbly before our God and begging him and begging our brethren to forgive us, because we are such vile sinners, we're transgressors. But the Lord has brought us and opened our eyes that we have seen and we do see. But he brings us to our desired haven. Yes. Through life, in our experiences, we are often brought to a desired haven. Haven't you felt some time with David when the Lord has been gone forever? He'd give anything in the world if you could just feel that peace and joy that you once had. Lo and behold, you search for him like the one in the Song of Solomon, hast thou seen him whom my soul loveth? You can't find him. Behold, he's there all the time, as I've said, and he speaks in his peace, and then he brings you to your desired haven, doesn't he? Speaks peace in your soul. My brother, that desired haven that we're longing for, the most important haven of all, the very center of our hope, the very desire of our hearts, is that haven of rest, brethren, which shall be ours by the grace of God through his mercy, that after we have suffered the turmoils and storms of this life, after we've been beaten around and battered around by the winds and the storms and the seas, we suffered many things. But more than anything else, there are those doubts and the feeling of how unworthy we are in our hearts. And yet, my brethren, we have this which is implanted in our hearts, which the apostle calls the hope. And he says, which hope we have is the anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. What would you do, brethren, sisters, and friends, if you didn't have the anchor? If there wasn't something that holds you fast during these turmoils and storms and fires? I say to you, my brethren, that the anchor of the hope of the Lord's people, which he describes as the anchor of soul, there has never been a storm too violent, nor the wind blow too hard, nor the waves too high, that the anchor that the Lord has given his people, which hope we have is the anchor of the soul, that it is parted asunder, because it is just as strong as God himself is strong. The heavens must fail. God must be dethroned before. That which the Lord implants in the hearts of his little ones shall break loose from the grace and the mercy and the eternal wills and shalls and purposes of our God. Yea, God must be dethroned before your hope can be destroyed. And we know, brethren, that none can dethrone our God. Yea, you remember in the 8th chapter of Romans, yes, where the apostle there, Paul, was so wonderfully given to recount these wonderful and glorious things and the purposes of our God, where he said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, then he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also glorified. I believe I've left out one there somewhere. But let us come to the conclusion that the apostle came to after he enumerated these wonderful and glorious things in the eternal will and purpose and the mercy and the grace of God. When he says, what shall we then say to these things? Did God be for us? Who can be against it? Your hope, my brethren and friends, will never leave you, will never part. It will be with you. And I have said sometimes, though some might question it as to whether it's true, but sometimes it's been true to me, that I felt like that the hope that I have is the most important possession that I have in this world. Yeah, I may have a few dollars, I may have this, that, and the other, but sometime I've got to lie down in death, and we're all going to do that. We're going to leave everything we've got behind. But my thought is, my brethren, my belief is, my consolation is, that which I received some, maybe 50 years ago now, that thing has been my anchor, that thing has been my hope. And every time I've been brought to distress, and trials, and troubles, somehow it goes right back to that hour, midnight hour, past midnight hour, when the Lord spoke peace in my heart. Brethren, I believe that's the anchor. Somehow, I may be mistaken. I don't believe I am, but I may be, of course, mistaken in the whole matter. But I do believe that when I and when you, the children of God, come to departing this life, the world won't be afraid. A brother said in a letter not long ago, I've always been afraid of the sting of death. But at one time he heard Elder Spangler speak and it spoke peace in his heart. He was no longer afraid. But my brethren, I don't believe we'll be afraid. God has not removed death, no, not that, because every one of us must die. But somehow, brethren, he has removed the sting of death. Somehow he's made us bold to come and yea, even to desire to leave this unfriendly world with all of its troubles and trials, and to go press onward and upward as we do from day to day, towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that our soul desires more, my brethren, than to come into the fullness of the things we've only had a little taste of here. And an old sister said to me some many years ago now, she says, if these things that we have now in this life are so wonderful, what will it be when we're brought into the fullness of it? It's beyond our imagination. Now there's one more thing I must hear come to a close. And it says again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the angels. Yea, here's what he does for us. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. We've been talking about that. The rivers into wildernesses. When you've been to rejoicing today, tomorrow, you don't know whether you have anything to rejoice in or not. The water springs into dry ground and you can't find a spiritual drink. It seems that all your food and all your drink, all your consolation is gone. A fruitful land into barrenness and the wickedness of them that dwell therein. That's your experience. You see all of these four or five things. We're talking about the same thing. Then he says, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffered not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are diminished, brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He pours the contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Who is the wise man? I looked it up over here. I want to read, and then I'm through. When I read that, I looked it up to see what Jeremiah had to say about the wise man. And in the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, he said, who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through it. And it goes on there, who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken? That's the wise man. Ah, the simplest man that ever lived, simple in his outward appearance maybe before men, but the way is so plain. You remember what the old prophet said, the way is so plain, that the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. It's just that sure, just that certain, and you, and all the children of God are just as safe in your troubles, your sorrows, your afflictions, as you are when you're up feeling to be exalted by the Spirit of God. So brethren, the Lord is with us all the way through. His grace is sufficient for us, but we must remember that when God spoke to this apostle Paul there and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for it said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's when you're weak, when I'm weak, when we're all weak, then we see the perfection of the strength of our God. Then we're able to praise him and to exalt his name above every name that has ever been named.